Welcome to Faith for Living. Doctrine. Dusty, dull, academic, or life-giving. Today we're going to study a doctrine, the perseverance of the saints, which is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. I guarantee you, if by the power of the Lord you receive this, you will have a faith for living.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, this is Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton. This week, Dr. Milton brings a message, The Life of Joy in Perseverance. A construction site may look chaotic, dirty, even dangerous. But to an architect, a construction zone is a beautiful place despite the chaos and noise, because they envision what the end product is going to be. So how is your life like a construction project? The Bible text we'll be focusing on today is from Philippians 1:6. Well, right now, let's go back to Mike Milton with a message we're calling The Life of Joy in Perseverance.
Some years ago, I was asked to write a book. The book was published, a little book that is called What is the Perseverance of the Saints? The perseverance of the saints, the very phrase, is a doctrinal phrase that is developed within the Christian church over the years to describe the activity of God in the life of the believer, to defend the truth of the many scriptures which say, as I write in another book, what God starts, God completes. The doctrine in Philippians is a gift that the Apostle Paul gives to the Philippian church who had supplied for the needs of another church. What kind of gift could Paul give when he was in prison? He gave a gift of assurance. He gave a gift of a doctrine. Doctrine has been called the thing that divides. But could it not also be called the thing that unifies, that corrects, that clarifies? The word doctrine and the word truth, or teaching, rather, in the Bible is the same word. Teaching, doctrine, same word. So the question comes, can you fall away from God's grace? Can you lose your relationship as a son or a daughter of Almighty God? And the answer of the Apostle Paul is this. Chapter 1, verse 6. Sit back. Receive it. Get ready for a meal contained in one verse. Feast on it and receive the joy of it. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth, the contemplations of our minds and hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And let me preach as if never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. Amen. When I was a little boy, we only had a couple of churches. Well, we had three churches. There was a Baptist church, there was a Methodist church, and then there was a church called the Tabernacle, which was filled with disgruntled Baptist and disgruntled Methodist. Those are the only three doctrinal differences divided, as it does within the larger body of Christ. Men of goodwill differing. I'll never forget I was in a schoolyard. I had been taught that if God saves you, God keeps you. That's what my Aunt Eva taught me. Her words, what God starts, God completes. And I had a very astute, but a very irritable and rascal-like classmate who took me on over that doctrine in the schoolyard. I should have known I was going to end up being a preacher or a professor or in a seminary because I get in a fight over doctrine in the third grade at recess. But there I was. And he was saying, you can lose your salvation. And I said, no, you can't lose your salvation. And we literally got into a fight, and the teacher had to come break us up. Now, in my little community, the teacher was not only the teacher at school. The teacher could very well be what that teacher was, my Sunday school teacher. Mike Milton, and I won't name the other boy's name. I'll call him Joe Jones. Mike and Joe, what were you arguing about? Whether you could lose your salvation? What? She asked. Two Christian boys and Mike, you? In my Sunday school class? Going to fisticuffs over that? I'm not proud of you. I don't think Aunt Eva, everyone called her Aunt Eva, I don't think Aunt Eva would be proud of you. And she looked at both of us, and she said, the Lord's not proud of you. I'll never forget that. Because I recognize that I'm talking to people in all different kinds of churches and with all different kinds of backgrounds. And my goal today is not to present a particular doctrine and wrestle you to the ground and make you believe that I'm right and you're wrong. My teacher taught me that was wrong. What I would prefer to do is to be a friend, a fellow traveler through Scripture, and share with you a definition of the, let's not call it doctrine, a definition of the teaching that is so obviously present with the Apostle Paul here. Let's look at that and define it. Let's define what Paul is giving to the Philippians. Let's look at the distortions and admit that there are some, but then let's focus for the rest of our time together on the delights. So first, a definition of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Now, to persevere obviously means to continue. The definition was given very wonderfully and succinctly by Jesus. When he said in John 10:27-29, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never. I give them eternal life. Didn't earn it. Don't deserve it. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Well, why is that? He goes on. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one and snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus Christ taught that your salvation, your relationship to Him, was a gift. Not earned, not deserved. In fact, it is a gift that is somehow mysteriously, inexplicably tied to something that happened between Father and Son and Spirit before the very foundation of the world in eternity past. God the Father gave to the Son the lives, the souls, the beings of all of those who would ever trust in Him. And that number is known to Him, and that too is a mystery. So if it were a gift from God the Father to God the Son, Jesus then says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. It's impossible. Because in that covenant of grace, in that divine arrangement between the persons of the Godhead, you became a gift from God the Father to God the Son, brought about, as we will understand as we read Scripture, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. So the greatest definition, the greatest understanding of how we will persevere, that is, we will continue. What God starts, God completes. We will continue through until the day of Jesus Christ, speaking about the day when He comes again, speaking about eternity future. We will continue as His sons and daughters because He guarantees it. Not because you try harder. My son could do all he wanted. He could never do anything to earn his relationship as my son any more than it is now. And you can't. You're his daughter because he chose you before the foundation of the world. Therefore, Jesus is saying, nothing can snatch you out of his hand. And the Apostle Paul is taking this, encapsulating this, boxing it up, if you will, and putting a red ribbon on it and sending it to the Epaphroditus back to the church at Philippi, who had given a gift to help another church, and he's giving them a gift back, and it's the gift of the perseverance of the saints, which brings joy. And Paul says, in another version, being confident of this. You see, this understanding brings the joy of confidence. Or as the old Methodist hymn writer would put it, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Jesus himself defines it. And Paul says, he who begins a good work in you. So that means the definition of the perseverance of the saints means that he will have to start the work, not you. God told Israel that you didn't choose me, I chose you. And he chose you to be his. He who began the work will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so it is God who not only saves you, but it is God who keeps you. Listen to some of the passages that further define and strengthen this doctrine. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Listen to Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, now listen to this, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. 2 Timothy 1:12, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. There's Paul saying this teaching that Christians will persevere, whatever the difficulty, whatever the trial, is precious to him as pastor. You know, if pastoring the people were all about me and all about my keeping them safe for eternity, we would all be in a sad state of affairs. That's a dangerous situation if you're placing your pastor in that position. You can't do it. Now, if he's preaching the word, administering the sacraments rightly, and praying with you and for you, yes, through those means of grace, you will be secured and kept. That's true. And that's what Paul is leaning on, that God himself is doing that. Well, I thank God for that truth. It has been summarized like this. The Dutch theologian Louis Berkhof summed it up like this. Perseverance may be defined as that continuous operation of the Holy Spirit in the believer by which the work of divine grace that is begun in the heart is continued and brought about to completion. The Westminster Confession of Faith simply says, they whom God is accepted in his beloved, speaking of Jesus, effectually called and sanctified by the Spirit, that is set apart, sealed, as we just heard the Word of God say, by the Holy Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. I like to put it like this, and I quote the old Methodist hymn writer again. The title of one of her hymns, Souls Safe in the Arms of Jesus. That's my hope and prayer for everyone I've preached to, including you. Because I know that if God has started a work in you, he will complete it. And part of my role as a shepherd is to assure you, is to take the crook of the Lord and rub your side, as it were, like a lamb, and assure you it's going to be okay. Yes, I know that you've fallen. I know that you've had problems and you've fallen into some sin, but you come back out of that hole. God will bring you back. You're his. Oh, yes, yes, I know the wolf chased you and you're frightened. Yes, I know, but it's okay. And through word, sacrament, and prayer, the crook of the Holy Spirit blesses you and assures you. What he started, he'll complete, and you can be confident of this. He'll never let you go. That's some thoughts about defining it. I have to admit that there have been distortions. One of the distortions comes in a phrase, once saved, always saved. Now, there's a part of that that certainly is true. That's what we've been studying. But if you prefer not to talk about the believer persevering through all of the means of grace that God has provided, and then simply say, once saved, always saved, while I believe that, I would say that it's insufficient. Because it could lead you to believe that if I was baptized and confirmed by the bishop, if I walked the aisle and made a prayer of salvation, I'm good to go, basically. I've checked off what I need to check off, and by golly, I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. So I've got a license to do pretty much whatever I want to do. Well, that's a distortion of the doctrine. And if you believe that, then you need to listen to the words of Peter, who incidentally persevered through it all, but what he learned was his perseverance was based upon the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. It wasn't based on his bravado or his strength or anything he had done. Peter would say to the Christians, as I say to you, make your calling and election certain. How? To a life of faithfulness. To a commitment to God's Word. Daily. By examining your heart, even as David said, Lord, search me and know me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. That's what we ought to be doing. We just don't say, check the block, I'm good to go, and now I can go live my life the way we want to. Pretty much, if you're saying that, you're telling me that that work has never really started in you. The believer, rather, is always investigating his or her life, laying it before God in prayer, saying, Lord, shape me, help me. There is a constant dependence. Well, I want to get to the delights, and let me go through those. What was the gift really bringing to these Christians at Philippi? Well, here's just a few. The perseverance of the saints would certainly be a gift of delight to those who are struggling with sin. And it could be that for you today. It is also a delight to the soul of those who need encouragement from God because you are suffering. To know that God will never let you go and that your salvation is altogether connected not with what you've done, but what God has done for you in eternity past and applied to you today is a gift. The perseverance of the saint is a delight to the parents of prodigals who came to Christ, who were taught the Word of God, and now they've gone astray. To know that God will never let you go, to know that God will never let your children go, is a blessing to you. You know what I found as a pastor? That the perseverance of the saints, this teaching of Paul, is a blessing to those whose family members have Alzheimer's or dementia or another disease in which the memory is robbed. Because no longer can they pray, no longer can they sing hymns, remember Scripture? And you say, well, their very confession is gone, O my beloved. That's your mother, or father, or grandfather, or friend. They've trusted in Jesus Christ. They're sealed unto eternity. And that perseverance will bring joy to you. It's also a delight to the souls of those who or dying, and to the families of those who are dying. Thomas Watson said, a Christian's main comfort, his main comfort, depends upon this doctrine of perseverance. I want to close with this. I used to live on Signal Mountain in Tennessee, and I would come down the mountain to bring my son to school, and oftentimes we would do what we like to do, play bluegrass music and turn it all the way up and roll the windows down. My son and I would go down the mountain and we would sing with the bluegrass musicians. And one of my son's favorite songs was by Ron Block, a fine Christian man and one of the great instrumentalists, a tremendous guitarist who plays with Alison Krauss in Union Station. And he's got a song that he wrote and he would sing called, "I'm not a holding on to Jesus, he's a holding on to me." And I remember the windows rolled down, the wind coming in, and my son and I just singing, "I'm not holding on to Jesus, he's a holding on to me." Well, that may sound corny and odd to you. There's a memory I'll treasure all the days of my life, because in that little bluegrass song was contained the doctrine that the Puritan Thomas Watson says is the main comfort of every believer: the perseverance of the saints. And that teaching need not be something you wrestle with or fight with like I did at recess so many years ago. Rather, it's something you just embrace. Something that soothes you. Like the crook against the belly of a lamb who's shaking. Wherever you are, whatever your situation, there can be joy because of this truth: I will never let you go. And no one, as Jesus, can snatch you out of my hand.
Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, reaching our broken world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To learn more about the ministry or to partner with us, visit our website at faithforliving.net. Now, your financial support is vital in supporting our mission, and you can make a tax-deductible donation online at faithforliving.net. Your gift may be also sent to Faith for Living, 3122 Fincher Farm Road, Suite 100, Box 552, Matthews, North Carolina, 28105. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-299-6360. That's 877-299-6360. Now, for a limited time, Dr. Milton is offering a free download of his latest music recording. The song is called "A Promise is Stronger Than Blood," and you can download the song for free just by visiting our website at faithforliving.net. Well, thank you for joining us today. Now, until next time, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living.